Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Jewel is 15 years old, okay?
Can I get you something?
My wife said, if you're going to do something about it, go do something about it.
It'd be like if McDonald's started selling alcohol.
I hate Jews. I hate Barack Obama.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what the hell it's talking about. For every night, man, we take you through the looking glass and beyond, where truth is our bitch. We go places other talk shows wish they could go. And you can check us out online right now at philhendryshow.com. You can watch us as we perform this radio show. PhilHendryShow.com, live streaming video, live streaming audio of our show, and downloads each and every day of our radio show, as well as our archives, constituting thousands and thousands of hours of a great radio show. And for $6.95 a month, are you kidding? It's almost a crime. Although I'm not sure which way. Anyway, I'm kidding. Go to our website, PhilHendryShow.com, get a backstage pass. Big announcement coming this week. And I'll give you a hint. It's going to involve one extra day of the Phil Hendry Show. One extra day. One extra video cast. One extra podcast. One extra download. 877-876-PHIL. Stephen Bozell is going to join us from Corona, California, a man who has had a similar experience as the one I'm going to describe to you right now. And let me tell you, this has got to be the worst nightmare of any parent, anywhere. I mean, losing a kid. And in Pasadena, California, which is the town I was born in. So I was an infant in Pasadena. And fortunately, my father was stone cold sober, I think, at least when I was born. Authorities say that a 3-year-old boy who was lost by his drunk father and found strapped into his car seat about 24 hours later in Pasadena has been placed in protective custody. A 3-year-old boy who was lost by his drunk father, Dylan Kurahara, was found late Sunday night in a parking structure in the area of Madison Avenue and Green Street in Pasadena, just blocks away from where he was lost, according to the Pasadena police. Dylan and his father, 23-year-old Joe Kurahara, were last seen leaving a parking structure at Cordova Avenue and Euclid Street in Pasadena about 9:30 in the evening, the two of them. They'd attended a wedding party at a Masonic lodge along with the boy's mother. The father, Joe, reportedly became very intoxicated at the wedding and was having a difficult time standing up without falling. Joe was arrested an hour later while walking alone in the area of East Cordova Street. So I guess he was busted for public intoxication. Meanwhile, when police arrested Cordova, they were unaware that he was in charge of a baby. And Kurahara reportedly told police he did not remember being with Dylan because he was too drunk. Police were made aware of the missing child when the mother woke up at 8 o'clock in the morning the next day, Sunday, and discovered that the child was missing, and she called police. Rowdy Metzger is a Pasadena resident. And apparently Mr. Metzger was the one that spotted this baby boy just sitting out there in the open. Here is Rowdy Metzger. This is Mr. Metzger, a Pasadena resident. He's the Good Samaritan credited with finding the toddler. He talked to Channel 5 News in Los Angeles.
My wife said, if you're going to do something about it, go do something about it. So I said, I'm going to go find him. And I never thought I would. So I tapped on the window. It woke him up. The door was open. I opened it. He got a little scared. I called out his name. I told him he'd be okay. I kept giving him a thumbs-up signal because I didn't know if he would understand me, if he was in shock or whatever. I called 911. I just kept talking to him until the police came.
And then Metzger is asked if he thinks he's a hero.
Nope, not at all. You know, I didn't do it for me.
Okay, that's enough. That's all we have to hear. All right, so just kidding around there. Mr. Bozell, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, Phil. That's a heck of a story, I'll tell you.
It is a frightening story, and I know it's one that you lived.
I did, and I will tell you that this is why I've been campaigning every year out here in Corona with the San Bernardino Sheriff's Department, Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, and I now know that in Pasadena, California, they're going to need a similar kind of an effort, I think, from the citizens out there to get this, what they call a police scouts, or similar kind. They're not police explorer. These are police scouts. They are young people who are learning the ropes as police officers. And when you put them in an area, and you can put them out in an area by like 100 or maybe 150 in an area like Pasadena, we're gonna get rid of this problem right away, because it happened to me. I went immediately to San Bernardino Sheriff.
All right. Well, let's first of all, let's talk about what you're talking about here. You were drunk, right?
Well, let me start at the beginning, because I think when you let somebody else tell your story.
Okay. No, that's fair enough.
All right. So I'm gonna start at the beginning. What happened was, my wife and I had our son, Steve Jr. And this was, a great day for us back in 1996. Steve's going to be 14 years old. He'll be 14 years old in December. And we had brought him to a wedding. The reason why you bring a baby to a wedding, when you first have a child, you do want to show off your child. It is expected by your friends. They want to see your child, and they want. And also, your wife wants to show the child off, because your wife, women have a need to show off their firstborn. It's a psychological need that they have, and it's one that I think as men we need to respect.
And women have a psychological need to show off their babies, huh?
Oh, yes, sir.
What do you mean by that?
Well,
I mean, I know that parents are proud.
Well, parents are proud, but the women have a need to show off their baby, because they want to show other women that they are capable of having a child. It is a psychological, very, very deep-seated competition between women as to fertility, and so women must take a baby and take it, show it around, show it off and everything like this. So we took our child to the wedding. I told my wife, I'm going to be at a wedding. There's going to be reception. There's going to be alcohol. I'm going to drink it. And my wife said, I understand. So you've got two competing, very, very basic and very primal needs. On the part of the female, she must show off her child. On the part of the male at a wedding, which is primarily a female event, the man is already under a lot of pressure, and so he's going to drink and drink to excess. And that's what happened to me.
And did you were also in charge of your son?
That is correct.
Now, why did you, knowing that your wife, knowing that you were going to drink to excess, give you that boy?
Because the women had already looked at it, and she had done what she needed to do. At that point in the wedding, when they start the music, the women then want to dance, and they will turn the child over to the man. And that's what happened to me, and I had, my son with me as I was continuing to drink.
What were you drinking, sir?
I was doing shots, and I was doing Bushmills whiskey, I think, at that time. Doing shots of Bushmills, I was chasing them with my Corona beer.
So you were doing shots and beers and shots?
Yes, sir. And that's very... you can watch it in the Deer Hunter movie, they do that.
No, I understand. That's a pretty manly way of enjoying a wedding reception, and you were getting really hammered even though you had your son there.
Yes, sir, but there was nothing that I could do about it. There's really not a lot a man can do in that situation when the woman needed to bring the kid to show it to everyone, and then she's going to go dance, and you are doing shots of beers, and she's giving you the child. That's why when my son was lost, and I went to the Los Angeles County Sheriff, and I said, this is a critical situation. I know there's a lot of men who've been through it. You've got to begin to hire police scouts to comb the area of weddings, any places, bars, wherever there's going to be a family, people possibly bringing an infant, so they can find or at least help canvass the area.
And so your solution to the problem, you see this problem as something where you get police scouts to comb an area in case a child is lost, because the father's drunk.
But you saw it happen again here, sir. You saw it happen again in Pasadena. A man got drunk and left his child.
And you want to get police scouts to... See, here's in our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Welcome to our show, folks. I've got Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, joining us. A man left his son in his car overnight forgot that the boy was there, a three-year-old child. He was arrested. He was in police custody for public intoxication. Where did you leave your son?
I left Steve Jr. In a car seat sitting on a wall about a block away from the Elks Lodge that we had added at in Corona.
And where were you all night?
I was at home. I was asleep.
You went home, and your wife was where?
My wife was at home.
Did your wife at any time ask you where your son was?
My wife was asleep when I got in. See, a lot of what I can understand,
This is the only thing that I'm asking you is, why did your wife not ask you where your son was?
She was asleep, sir. She was asleep. See, I understand that where you want to take this is you want to make this about me. And I know a lot of people are going to want to make this about the gentleman in Pasadena, Mr. Kurahara. This is about something much more profound, and I really need people to get this. We need police scouts or police explorers. We need a certain group of police that can, do the kind of work that our other police can't do. And a police scout can look for a missing child. They can look for things that are out of place. They can look if you have a missing child in the area. This is not about anything other. I know that you want to make this about...
Well, what about you not getting so drunk that you lose your son?
You know, that's the easy way. And
well, it's an obvious question.
I know, and it gets a lot of laughs. And I was on the Ken and John show, and they did the same thing. Why are you getting so drunk? I said, because I'm at a wedding, and I'd like to ask you a question, Mr. Henry. Did you ever go to a wedding?
Take your time.
Did you ever go to a wedding that you didn't get drunk at?
I've been to weddings, and I've had drinks. Drunk? To the point where I...
No, please, sir, please. Have the dignity to answer my question and not manipulate it in your favor. Have you ever been to a wedding that you didn't get drunk at?
Mr. Sir, I'm not trying to...
Have you ever... Sir, please.
Have I ever been to a wedding that I haven't been drunk at? I think I've gotten drunk at every wedding I've been at, but I think I remembered where I was.
Okay. Thank you for at least answering honestly.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up next hour, we're going to have David G. Hall and Margaret Gray on. They'll be talking about Sharon Angle telling Hispanic students that they looked Asian, and apparently there was a contretemps about that. 877-876-PHIL. So a drunken father leaves his son strapped in a car seat in the car overnight. Mr. Bozell is with us from Corona, California. It's happened to him. It may have happened to some of you men out there. Is the answer more police assistance in terms of volunteer police scouts or police explorers who can go out and look for children that are left behind when people get understandably intoxicated at weddings and so forth? 877-876-PHIL. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. And we're not talking about an extra. Oh, shoot.
We'll be right back, sir, okay?
All right.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I was talking to Mr. Bozell off-air about The Deer Hunter. You like that movie?
Yes, sir, and... The reason why I brought that up is they've got a scene in there in that movie, The Deer Hunter. If people have seen it, they show how a wedding can be.
Well, that movie, I don't know that that's a typical wedding reception. I mean, it's a very ethnic, it's a Russian-American wedding where everybody's doing Stoli shots, you know.
Yes, sir, but I mean, weddings are very festive.
Weddings are very festive. That particular wedding, that's a movie wedding, and I don't know.
Yeah, that's true, sir.
All right, let's get back to, and then I want to get to some phone calls here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. I'm talking to Mr. Stephen Bozell. We had a father over the weekend here in Southern California leave a baby strapped in a car seat for 25 hours inside of his car while he stumbled down the street too drunk to remember where he parked the car or left his son. And fortunately, I guess for the father, he was arrested, taken into custody by the Pasadena Police Department because he was just drunk in public. Meanwhile, the little boy is sitting in the car and was not known to be missing until the mother woke up the next morning. and called the police. Now, the question I have for you, Mr. Bozell, because the same thing happened to you. The police had your son, is that right?
That is correct, yes, sir.
And what happened?
What happened was my wife went down and got this child. Her brother was, fortunately, the watch commander with the Corona police. And we, you know, I was very fortunate that I did not have to face charges. But had I faced charges, I would have been free. I would have got off because, as I told them before, they did not have police scouts ready to search for the child. I was intoxicated, but that was not my fault. That was the fault of the wedding and my wife.
All right, I want to get to some phone calls, but you're claiming that your wife had no choice. Women want to take their babies to show them off, and you had no choice. You're at a wedding, so you have to get drunk. Where does that leave the child?
It leaves the child in the care and custody of his parents unless the parents decide that, unless the woman decides she's giving it to the husband. Now, I told my wife that was on her for giving it to me, and that's when you must rely on the police and police services to find the kid if it comes to you losing it. And there's so many people that don't understand this, and so many people that want to make me a bad guy or make this man a bad guy.
That what I'm not understanding is that we need to have police scouts to look for children who are missing in case their drunk fathers lose them. And
no, sir, not just the drunk father, but in case the mother who wants to go dance because she wants to be, you know, liberated and dance and everything. What about that?
I don't understand. She gave you...
She gives me the child, even though I've been drinking since 4 in the afternoon.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call here. We're talking about a baby that was left in a car by a drunk father and a mother who, I guess, thought that the baby was in the care of the father. Here is Aaron in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Aaron, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hey there. It's not
yes, ma'am.
A point of whether or not he's a bad guy. He's a stupid guy. You have a kid that's in your care. You do not need to be drinking excessively at a wedding or even in your own home.
Well, ma'am, this is a wedding where you're expected to drink, and my wife knows this. She's decided she wants to bring the... Why did she bring the child? Because women want to show it around and show, look, I made a kid. Okay, fine. But then she brings it to the wedding, and next thing you know, I've got it. I didn't want it. I'm already, you know, and we've been drinking, I drank Turkey Jack and Heineken since 4 in the afternoon. So I was in no shape.
All right, so why don't you just, you know, tell your wife I'm really drunk, don't give me the child.
Because she's going to make an issue with you over the fact that she doesn't get to go dance to the Gloria Glainer music they're playing and this kind of thing. See, that, you don't understand. And again, why am I singled out? I'll tell you why. Because the police don't have the right. They don't have police scouts. They don't have anybody who's going to...
All right. I don't know about the police scout thing, sir. You're talking about a whole other thing, putting this on the police. 877-876-PHIL. Anthony, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. I'm from Houston. I go out drinking fairly regularly. And, I mean, I make sure that all my friends and family members and the people that I go out with, I make sure that they all get home safe, whether it be a text message, whether it be anything. And I know we're talking about adults when I'm saying this, but I can't understand how somebody who has a physical connection as having a child or a wife
right.
or, you
yeah.
know, anything like that, I can't understand how someone cannot make sure that they make it home safe. Even if
well,
there's...
Can I interrupt you? I heard Mr. Hendry go, yeah, right, right. What are you saying, Mr. Hendry?
Well, I'm agreeing with this man. Everything this man's saying, I agree with. If you have a wife, if you have a child, a family member, and you're not looking to make sure...
I was given the child by my wife. She's dancing. I'm drinking. What I'm asking for is one more layer of protection, and that's a police scout to look for the kid, is all I'm asking.
Honestly, it comes down to self-responsibility and self-control. I mean, Really, when you look at it, who's responsible for that child? Is it some government agency, or is it you?
No, sir. No. It's me, but I'm at a... Okay, so in other words, I got no choice. I'm going to a wedding, and I'm going to have some shots and beers. My wife decided to take the kid to show it to her girlfriends to show she can have a baby, and then they're going to dance. So what she's done, in order for her to show off being a woman, is she gives the child over to a man who's too drunk to care, and it happens to be the kid's father, me.
Okay, I guess we're blaming the mother now. 877-876-PHIL. If you're too drunk to care for your child, what do you do, get a police
Phil
scout?
Henry.
That's my solution.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, and don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. philhendryshow.com. We have live streaming video of our show right now as we speak, as well as podcasts tomorrow, our classic podcasts, and we have a brand-new uncensored pre-show rant up on the website as well. With me is Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, a father of two, who upon the birth of his first child, his son, he and his wife went to a wedding not long after the birth of that child, a wedding where... you were intoxicated, Mr. Bozell. Your wife was dancing. Somehow your son was lost overnight in a car seat on a wall. And
well, he was not overnight, Mr. Henry, and I thank God for that. It was a police officer found Steve Jr. about, I guess it was about 2:30 in the morning when they...
2:30 in the morning? How long had you all been gone?
Well, I was gone. My wife was dancing, and then I guess she went home with some girlfriends. In fact, that's what she did do. And I had gone to another establishment, and then I basically, because I didn't want to be drunk driving, I fell asleep in my car. And the police pointed at that to say that I was not a decent father. And I asked the police officer, did you want me to drive with my son drunk? Did you want me to endanger my son? And he said, you left your son sitting on a wall till 2:30. And I said, if the worst thing's going to happen to him sitting on a wall is the car seat's going to fall off, and he's in a car seat, he's protected. But the worst thing happened in a drunk man's car, he'll get flung, maybe hundreds of yards.
And you left your son. Are you not worried about somebody kidnapping that child?
I worry about it, and I wish that's why the police and the Corona police and the Riverside Sheriff should have had police scouts there as a backstop. That's all I'm saying. You keep saying responsibility. What about, you know, having some safeguards and a safety guard in, or a safe net, or however they say it, to put that in?
You want a safety net of having police scouts ready to search the area for your kid that you left in a car seat sitting on a wall till 2:30 in the morning in Corona, California, while you were passed out in your car.
You know, Mr. Henry, you're making this sound... You love to use, I was passed out of my car and my wife. So you make me sound like an alcoholic and my wife is a slut.
That's... I haven't said anything about your wife, sir. I haven't said anything like that. Okay? You have that boy. You're in charge of that child.
Do you want me to take that child into Jumbo's Clown Room or places like that?
Jumbo's Clown Room? The strip joint?
Yes, sir.
Why would you take your boy in there?
Because when the reception got boring because the women were dancing, that's where a group of us men went. And you're going to have me take my boy into Jumbo's, okay?
No, sir, I wouldn't have you take your boy into Jumbo's Clown Room. I wouldn't have you drinking as much as you were drinking. Let's go to Kathy in Detroit, Michigan, listening on WDTW. Kathy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
I
had to call in tonight. I'm really horrified by this story about Mr. Bozell. And his wife, actually, I think is just as responsible as he was. I'm a retired social worker. I was a foster care worker for 9 years. And he and his wife could have had their child removed from their care for neglect and placed in a foster home.
What about police scouts is what I'm talking about?
Well, you said a policeman did find the child. So obviously
no, I'm saying immediately.
You're lucky
immediately to find a child.
Your child instead of some child molester.
I'm talking about if you could go to the police and say, okay, I've left my child in a... Police scouts police
scouts.
You were
too drunk. Ma'am. You were too drunk to even think about your child when you got out of the strip joint. You were too drunk. Your wife
Excuse
never
me,
left the child with you. You were too drunk.
Ma'am,
you were
the point I'm trying to make is
so
why are there not police? And you're calling from Detroit, so I know you guys have your problems. You can't even afford cops there. But in a city,
over to Lisa on the Phil Hendry Show in Indianapolis. Go ahead. I've got another caller on the line. Okay, go ahead, Lisa.
My thing is, police scouts, you know, that costs money for the state. It's going to come from somewhere else to help find your kid. When you become a parent, you know, you become responsible. You know, you're no longer entitled to be able to get drunk at a wedding. You have a responsibility until the kid is old enough.
Why does my wife got to take the kid to the wedding? Why do women have to show?
It doesn't matter if your wife took it. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. You know, what if your wife had an accident, needed rushed to the hospital, but you weren't ready? You're always supposed to be ready. If your kid is involved or in your care or in someone's care with you, you need to at least be sober enough to make decisions if something should happen. It's your responsibility when you become a parent.
May I ask you? Well, ma'am, I've got two children. I mean, I don't need, you know.
Well, is she saying anything that's wrong?
Well, no, but she hasn't even addressed the fact that my wife gave the kid to me. Why did my wife do that? Because she wanted to go dance because they were playing, the Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive, and this.
Well, I get that, but as soon as she gave you the child, you should have stopped drinking.
No. Why did she do? But why does she get to dance and I can't drink?
Well, why not just tell her not to drink?
Okay. You ever had a man tell you not to dance? I don't think so. yeah, you know what I mean. All right, my son could have died that night. These people...
All right, Lisa, thank you. What are you getting tongue-tied over, man? Huh? What's the problem?
I'm asking for a series of police scouts...
I know, to find your kid because you're too drunk to find the kid yourself. Philip in Raleigh, North Carolina, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm not too drunk to find the kid. I put the kid down because I wanted to...
Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Yeah, last caller hit on a point about the responsibility. The bottom line is you're a parent. Responsible to your child first. What you want to do is come second to your child's welfare and safety. Your wife is culpable in this issue as you are. You're an adult. You get to make your own decisions. You made a decision, a conscious decision to drink. You know, choose your own wants over your child, and putting your child at risk. And
are you Jewish? Are you Jewish, sir? Are you? Sir, are you Jewish?
Am I Jewish?
Yes, sir.
No, that's beside the point. I'm an adult.
Well,
a parent.
The reason why I'm asking is it doesn't sound to me like you take a drink. I mean, I'm sure you've taken a drink. And
what has that got to do with being Jewish?
Well, most of my Jewish friends don't drink. And
yeah, I have friends. My relatives drink, but you know what? When it comes to child's welfare, that comes first.
Well, you understand. You understand what it is to drink.
But they're talking about having a kid.
I understand that, sir. No one will give me the dignity of addressing my concern, which is why are there not police scouts located on every street corner, every other street. And
what are these police scouts going to do?
If there is a kid left, they can
Bill,
look
that's my second point, accountability. First of all, he showed lack of responsibility. Secondly, he showed lack of accountability in his decision that he made. He's blaming everybody else but himself. His wife has said, just as culpable.
I'm just saying, why can't we have a police scout there to get the kid before he sits there until 2:30 in the morning?
Because this is something the community is going to have to take care of. Thank you very much for your call there, Philip. 877-876-PHIL. This is something the community's got to take care of, which means tax dollars, okay?
There we go with tax dollars. People don't want to pay tax dollars when it comes to welfare of children. And
when it comes to the welfare of children, this is your child.
I understand that, Mr. Hendry, but this society does and has contributed to the welfare of families. We do have a department in California, and other states do, called the Department of the Welfare, It's a family.
It's, yeah, families with dependent children. It's a, well, yeah, I know what you mean.
What is it called? It's called a family with a child. Family with a child that's dependent. And the welfare for it.
And it, that's not what it's called, but I know what you mean.
All right. So, we got that, and yet, I've got to sleep in my car and worry about where my kid is.
You're worrying about where your kid is, and you're sleeping in your car because you drank too much. You told me you were doing Jack Daniel's shots and Corona, right?
Yes, sir.
Because you saw Deer Hunter, and you didn't want to do Stoli and Rolling Rock.
No, that is a sure trip to the... You're going to be... If you're going to drink Stoli and Rolling Rock, you might as well just pour it in the gutter, because that's where you're going to be vomiting. And nobody understands that.
Sir, I understand that completely. That's got nothing to do with your child, though. I understand about throwing up Stoli and Rolling Rock. I've never done it, but I can see how that would cause that, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. But that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about. I don't care, really, what you were drinking. The fact that you're doing Boilermakers tells me that you were there to tie one on.
No, it's a standard drink. Everybody does it.
No. You don't do shots and beers unless you're going to get hammered. And with your kid there... That's what people are talking about. But all you can say is, well, yeah, of course I'm going to do shots and beers, and of course my wife's going to want to dance, so why don't the police have police scouts to make sure that my kid isn't left on a wall?
That is what we call a safety net, don't we? How come no one will let me talk about my safety?
Your safety net?
Yes.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking about something that actually happened in Pasadena just over the weekend. A child left by his drunk father. Brandon in Atlanta, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
You know, I got a couple of issues with this father. I hear you. I hear you talking and everything, but I have a few issues with you. Number one, you keep calling your child a thing. I heard you repeatedly call your child a thing. That's not
what?
A thing. That's a human being. Okay, that's a
I
child.
I never said that.
Yes, you have. Okay,
I don't remember.
Number two. You are a father before anything else. Why are you getting drunk? And why are you getting drunk and you have a kid there? It shouldn't even matter. I blame you. Yes, you're a bad father. You're a bad father for getting drunk and you got your son, your kid there, let alone you have two. Yes, okay? I blame your wife as well, okay?
What?
Because that's our responsibility as well, okay? Both of y'all, I blame both of y'all for what happened, okay?
So I'm not allowed to have a drink.
It doesn't. I'm being honest with you.
I don't get to have a drink. The thing is, it's not up to the police.
You're a father. You're that child's father, okay? Then nobody bring them in the world, that child in the world, except for you and her. Okay, that's y'all responsibility. So y'all take care of that first before
anything else.
I totally understand that. But really?
Yes, sir.
You really have issues, dude. You need to really check this whole alcohol, this disease that you have.
What about that? Yeah,
disease,
yeah.
Okay?
Do you think that's an alcoholism, Steve? Do you think you have?
No, I don't have. That's ridiculous. You're telling me that a guy doesn't go to a wedding and the first thing he wants to do is pound shots?
If you got your son,
you're placing blame on everybody else except for yourself. You haven't taken blame. You even blamed your wife for it. So yeah, I blame your wife too. She shouldn't have left him there with you. Yeah, but the thing is, the bottom line
there,
is, if you have
been
there and you know what's going to go on with this, then you should have just went ahead and did what? Not drink. Okay? Yes, you can enjoy yourself. Yes, you can enjoy yourself and be a man without drinking at a wedding. You have a kid there. That's the thing. Everybody there ain't got kids. Okay? It's nobody's responsibility.
Right, what I'm trying to say is my wife knew. And she knows that we're going to have drinks and go into Jumbo's Clown Room. Am I supposed to take my child in Jumbo's Clown Room? Why are you going, huh? Why are you saying, huh?
You know.
I mean,
you know what? That's BS.
What do you mean Jumbo's Clown Room, man? That's a strip joint. Why would you take your son into a strip joint?
Because my wife gave him to me.
Simple as that. Why are you blaming your wife on anybody else except for yourself? This was your mistake. Your mistake and your wife's mistake. Why are you blaming
Can you see that, Steve? You understand? You decided to have the drinks. You decided that, you know, your wife's going to dance. She's giving you the kid. You could have said, no way, I can't take that kid. I'm too hammered. But you didn't.
There's no man on earth that can tell a woman not to dance.
Oh, horse dung. And then you go outside and you leave the hall with your son, and you go to a strip joint.
Everybody knows Jumbo's Clown Room.
You're lucky enough to have this child. You brought this child in the world. Everybody out here in the world can't have kids. You're lucky enough to have one, and then this is what you do to them? Please.
Well, you know, Mr. Henry, it must be great to have everybody call in and lick your rear end up.
Oh, that's not what's going on. Thank you anyway, sir, for your call. That ain't what's going on. That's not what's going on here.
Everyone licking your butt.
No, they're listening to you, and they're listening to a guy saying, I had too much to drink, and of course I'm going to go into Jumbo's Clown Room and take my son. Why didn't my wife know that? And why don't the police have police scouts?
Have you ever heard of a thing called a safety net?
Yes, I have heard of a thing called a safety net.
Okay, every society has. Why don't I get to have a safety net is all I'm trying to say.
Safety nets are for people that cannot help their circumstance. Safety nets are for people that have been through misfortune, disease, or just the throw of the dice in life, have a chronic life condition where they need some help. It's not there for a guy who goes out and ties one on for the night. 877 and decides to go into Jumbo's Clown Room. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Mr. Stephen Bozell as we talk about this father who lost his child in Pasadena this weekend. We'll be back.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Available at philhendryshow.com, too. So if you're going out tonight and you want to watch the video cast, we're mobile on your Android or on your Evo phone. Check us out as we perform on the video cast this evening, 877-876-PHIL. Before we get to some more phone calls, you were mentioning that you took your son into this strip bar, and then what?
Because my wife had given him to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd had a lot of drinks. And I took my son, but I took care of my boy. And my friends, two of them, I don't want to say their names, they took me over. We went into Jumbo's Clown Room. Then I hear one of my friends say, where's my... And this is very bad, Mr. Henry, but I want you to know I wanted my son to get out of there. I'm going to take my son out of there. My friend says, where's my bag of cocaine? And that's when I got my friend out of there.
Where's his bag of cocaine?
Yes, sir. And that's when I got him out of there, and I took my son out, too. And I'm telling my friend, because he'd been arrested once already. He'd had one felony arrest. He was on probation. And I'm telling him, you can't do it, because I love this guy like a brother, you know. And so we sat down and had a discussion.
And where's your son?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Then I left him on the wall and took my friend back to his car.
And so you leave your son on a wall, you take your friend?
I was drunk, Mr. Henry. I was drunk. Why are there not police? I'm coming up with a solution nobody else will come up with. Why are there not police scouts or police explorers or police people or some kind of a police eagle? They have Cub Scouts or not Cub Scouts, but what do you call them?
Police Explorer is for young people who want a career in the police or, you know, they want to learn about law enforcement. It is a kind of a, it's got nothing to do with you losing your kid. 877-876-PHIL. Debbie in Houston, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I didn't lose my kid, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, Phil. Yes,
hi.
Phil. My name is Betty, like Betty Boop.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
I just wanted to tell this gentleman, I'm really upset by everything that I am hearing. You are a father first, Mr. Bozell. You should put your son before anything else. Your friend, anybody, listen, you be quiet. You're not fit to be a father.
You live in Houston and you got a New York accent?
You are passing responsibility to everybody else. You are not accepting responsibility. If you are doing this to your child now, what is going to happen when that boy is a teenager and he needs you even more? Listen, I raised three boys on my own and they are all in college now. Never will I think about myself.
And you never took a drink.
Children.
And you never took
there
a drink.
You
never
wrong
took.
With you.
You never
there's
took a drink the whole time they were growing
for
up.
You and there's a time
oh
for your
God.
Child. If you have
my
a child,
is,
your time is with your child. You are responsible to the child. But you can't seem to accept responsibility. You blame everybody else, and you want
no.
someone to take care of you.
No, ma'am. My friend had been arrested already for possession of a controlled substance. So I had to get up.
Nobody's talking about your friend right now, man, okay?
You shouldn't be in a place like that with a child.
What are you talking? Are you telling me I can't go to Jumbo's Clown Room, which is it's like an institution?
Well, with your son we're talking about now.
Yeah, I know what this lady is all about. She's going to tell everybody how to raise their kid. And this lady has never taken a drink when she was raising her kids. I bet you she did. But she's telling me how to live. And everybody, she's telling how to live. I think it's wrong.
No, all right, Betty.
You're wrong to be a dad.
I think you're wrong for lying about drinking when you were raising your kids.
There are lots of people who would like to have children. And children are precious. They are godsend. They are precious.
And you
do not put him number one. When
you
have a child, your life is different. Your life changes completely. But you can't accept that. You can't accept the responsibility of being a father. You want someone to take care of you before you take your child. Take care of your child. You know, there's something wrong with you. Let me tell you something, Mr. Bozell. I think you've been drinking too much. And I think your brain is picked off from all that drinking.
Did you, you know what? Did you ever take a drink when you were... I forget what I was going to say.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Nope, not at all. You know, I didn't do it for me. I did it for the kid.
Come in.
Hello, Mrs. Cleaver, man.
When I think about it, it's like I'm trapped in a dark place.
So that's what we want, is a secure and sovereign nation.
Thick, juicy burger.
That's very tough to swallow.
Wow. World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what the hell it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass every night to find it going places other talk shows wish they could but can't. 877-876-PHIL. And on the line with us is Mr. Stephen Bozell as we continue our discussion about really parental responsibility. A drunken father in Pasadena, California over the weekend left a 3-year-old boy in a car seat sitting in the car for 25 hours alone. This baby was alone as the father was passed out drunk in police custody. The mother was at home sleeping. And nobody knew where the kid was until a good Samaritan, a resident of the area, found this child. We're talking with Mr. Bozell, and we have been discussing with him his experience with this, his flirtation with this. His solution is that we need more police scouts or volunteer police explorers or this kind of thing, so that when it happens, we've got people in the area, canvassing the area, already boots on the ground, if you will, looking for the child. But what about the drunken dad? What about the mother that's at home after dancing the night away at the wedding? What is the culpability of these people? We'll talk about that coming up. 877-876-PHIL on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And our affiliate spotlight tonight, by the way, in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, WZTK 101.1 FM. And in Yakima, Washington, KBBO 980 AM. And, of course, our affiliate list is available to you at philhendryshow.com. PhilHendryShow.com, where you can also check out everything else that we got there for you. Let me get Mr. Bozell back up on the line here. Our number again, 877-876-PHIL. And Steve, where we left off, you've been taking a lot of people, and I fear, sir, that you need to answer this question a little bit better about your responsibility.
Mr. Henry, I take full responsibility. I should not have drunk that much. I understand my boy was with me. I love my son, and my son down today is a 13-year-old boy, and he's doing fine. I was a younger man then. I drank, and everyone drinks at weddings. I drank at weddings, and I think it's unfair for so many people to be calling your program this evening, people who you and I both know will drink and drink to the point of being sick at a wedding, and yet they're telling me how I'm supposed to live my life. And I have not also brought up the fact, sir, that while this is happening all over America, and I was sick the next day wondering where my son was, it took the police until 2:30 in the morning to find this child. Now, that child was left on a wall near the establishment I told you about.
This Jumbo's Clown Room?
Yes, sir. The wedding was a very prominent affair. Everyone knew that it was happening in the area. And everyone knew that I was in the area and my friend, and we were all there. And yet, the police are taking their good, sweet time.
And you're serious about this, huh?
What's that, sir?
You're telling me that the police took their sweet time finding your kid. Your kid...
No, sir. Please understand. I'm not blaming, but I am saying this. Once it was established that I was drunk, and once it was established that my wife is going to go home and pass out, okay, that's a fact, and that's a bad, and that's a cruel fact, and I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it one bit, sir. Not one bit. I'm not proud of my actions. I'm not proud of the behavior of my wife. I'm not proud of my friend who is talking about losing cocaine in the middle of a strip club, and I've got my son in a bag, in a bag next to him, not in a bag, but he's in like a car.
Car seat.
Yes, sir, in a car seat. But, okay, after all of that is established, how I screwed up and how my wife did too, the police now got to come in and take over, and it took until 2:30 in the morning. And
what time of day was it that you feel you lost your son?
I don't remember. I blacked out.
Well, you have no idea.
No, I know it was probably, the wedding started at 4. It was over, and we were drinking. I mean, we were into a good, solid, we were hitting our swerve, you know, probably about 6. So I have to, in order for me to black out, and I'm not proud of this, sir. I'm just, you're asking me a question.
Okay.
I must have been drinking from 6, probably it was about 8:30 or 9.
8:30 or 9 when you went over to Jumbo's Clown Room.
Yes, sir.
So your son was out on a wall for 4 hours.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying, that the police did not do how it was that they're supposed to do, and I've admitted my culpability. And I'll go you one better, Mr. Henry.
You've admitted your culpability to the extent that you were irresponsibly intoxicated. Your wife was dancing. She's gone. And you say now that you've admitted that, now everything's good, and now let's put it on where it really belongs, on the police.
No, sir. I'm not saying that at all. And I was.
Well, that's exactly what you just said.
No, sir. I was going to say I'm even more culpable and more responsible because what I'm going to say now, I'm not proud of at all. That my wife and I, she was pregnant before we got married, and I was very, very intoxicated on Yukon Jack, and I will never forget it, because I can't drink Yukon Jack now. I was very intoxicated on a bottle of Yukon Jack and Jägermeister on the night that my son was conceived. I'm not proud of that at all. And I was sick like an animal the next day. But I take responsibility for that. That my son was conceived on a night where I remember vomiting. It was just solid green.
All right, sir.
You know, I apologize.
Okay, I get it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you were drunk the night your boy was conceived. You were drunk the night you and your wife had made love and your son was... you weren't married. You're drunk this night. You're drunk. Do you drink now?
I don't. No, not in the way that you're thinking. No, sir.
Well, you probably shouldn't drink at all.
Mr. Henry, let me just say something. I filed a lawsuit against the San Bernardino Sheriff as a result of them not finding my son until 2:30. I took a proactive step. I know that I shouldn't have been drinking, but I took a proactive step.
What did you sue them for?
I sued them for negligence.
877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-PHIL. What did you sue them for?
I sued them for dereliction of duty.
For not finding your kid until 2:30. Did you win?
Yes, I did win. Yes, I did. I feel I won. Yes, sir.
What do you mean you feel you won? Did you sue for damages?
Yes, sir, I did.
Did you collect damages?
You know, did I collect damages? You know, Mr. Henry, there's some things in life that are more important than money, okay? But, yeah, I got them good.
Did you win the case?
Yes, I did. In my mind, I did. And all of my friends.
Okay, well, that sounds to me like you didn't. 877.
No, sir, I did, sir. Yes, I did.
Well, did you collect damages?
Are you saying, what do you mean?
Did you sue for money?
Yes, sir.
Did you collect money?
I will.
And well, it's been 13 years.
Well, you know, I won, and you can say what you want, I won.
Okay, that means you lost, sir.
No, sir, I didn't. I won.
Well, okay. 877-876-PHIL. Let's get to a phone call here. Stephen Bozell on this child that was lost and the responsibility of parents. Mary, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Mary? Do we have Mary on the line? No? All right. Let's go to another phone call. We have Jimmy. Go ahead, Jimmy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have six kids, ranging in age from 12 to 2. And I drink. I'm not going to lie about it. I drink.
But why do you have that many kids?
I put my responsibility where it should be. My kids are my first responsibility. I am not going to choose any kind of beer, wedding, I don't care what it is, over my children. My children are my life, and I have my children.
I totally agree. I totally agree with that.
And, but,
ain't nothing.
I'm not going to go out and get so drunk that I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what my kids are doing. For all I know, they'll be out playing in traffic. And I'm in some godforsaken place drinking.
My son was with me, sir. And we was at a wedding, and his mother was there. And these are people that we knew. And these
are my friends. If you're in a strip joint drinking, your son's not with you. You have no idea what your son is doing. Somebody could have grabbed him.
No, my son was with me, sir. No, my son was with me. He was in the car seat with me.
So you took the car seat into the strip club?
Well, yeah, that's after we left. We left the club, and I was telling my friend about his cocaine addiction, and I put my son on a wall.
See, what we have here, Jimmy, if you'd mind, this gentleman...
Well, don't talk about me like I'm not here, Mr. Hendry.
Hold on for a minute. This gentleman goes into a strip club after the reception, takes his son with him in the car seat. His friend says something about cocaine. He gets his friend out of the club and starts some, intercession or however, you know. Starts talking to his friend about his drug addiction, puts his son on a wall, forgets his son is there, and takes his friend back to his car.
Okay, do you mind if I talk for myself?
Isn't that what you told me?
Yeah.
So
intervention, that's the word. You're doing an intervention. You're drunk out of your mind talking to your friend about cocaine.
This guy's, he had two federal warrants out.
Oh, who cares? Go ahead, sir.
To me, it don't make sense. I've been to clubs.
I understand. Yes, sir.
But I'm not going to take my kids anywhere near them filthy places. You don't know what kind of person's going to be around there.
Yeah, but this place is a landmark in the Los Angeles area. It's called Jumbo's Clown Room up in the valley. And it's a place that my son would probably go to.
I live out in the country.
So whatever.
Well, no, what I'm saying is it's a landmark strip club.
What do you mean your son will probably go there?
When he's old enough.
All right, Jimmy, go ahead. Wrap up, man.
My kids, they will be nowhere near that place, and I am not going to choose anything before my kids. I don't care what it is.
It's a very classy joint. It's a very classy joint.
Oh, yes.
It's got a red carpet going to it.
You got a, what do you call it? You
are my
first
priority.
What do you have in the country? You got no strip joint in the country. What do you do? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, the guy lives in the country, doesn't need a strip joint out there. Anyway, thanks very much, Jimmy. 877, very well said, sir. 877-876-PHIL. And on the line with me is Mr. Stephen Bozell.
If I could interrupt, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
I've listened for the last hour and a half, and I would hope that your presentation could be a little bit more balanced than just every person who calls to argue with me. You take their side, very good call, and it's very obvious to the audience what you're doing, and I think that the audience knows what I'm having to deal with here, and I think they know that this is very biased, and you continually refuse to put up calls that agree with me.
But, sir, I'm not doing anything by screening the calls that come in, you know?
Yeah, but everyone, you say, thank you, good call, You haven't said that to me.
Okay, hang on for a minute, okay?
Whatever.
877-876-PHIL. If you have your infant child with you, even if you're at a wedding, even if your wife wants to dance to the Gloria Gaynor I Will Survive song, even if you've had shots and beers, you have to take care of your baby. Or should you? Is it the responsibility of the police? That's what Mr. Bozell is claiming, and he sued them. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Whatever.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, what is this, sir?
Mr. Harry, this is the music to Jumbo's Clown Room. I don't know if you did hear it or not.
Okay, so that's fine, and I'm just grateful for that, but I don't want to hear that anymore.
Well, the point that I was making, sir, is that I had sued the Riverside Sheriff in San Bernardino for not finding my boy until 2:30 a.m., and I take responsibility on account of my alcohol input. But I also sued them, and that is a very proactive step. And I don't think you've given me credit for that, but I do want people to understand that did happen, and I have a website I'd like them, you know, that I want to kind of give out here. And
well, we'll get to your website here in a moment, all right? But you claim you sued the sheriff's department. Did you win damages?
Mr. Henry, you know, it depends on what you mean by damages. I damaged them very good.
I'm talking about financial damages. You sued them for not finding your son until 2:30 in the morning, even though you were out drunk.
I've admitted to that, sir. I also admitted I was drunk the night he was conceived.
Okay, you were drunk the night he was conceived. That doesn't mean that you don't love him.
I love my son very much.
Okay. I believe you, sir. But I also believe that you've got to learn how to behave a little more responsibly.
Well, if I have to behave more responsibly, how come I sued the San Bernardino River? It's the San Bernardino Sheriff, okay?
And did you win?
I won. I did win.
How much did you win?
By self-respect and...
Oh, come on.
Mr. Henry, you want to put everything in the money way. I don't put it in the money way. I put it in the Steve Bozell way. And did I get myself? Did I protect my son? Yes, I did.
No, you didn't protect. How dare you say that? Protect your son? He was in a car seat, sitting on a wall. You know.
Until you have an infant son that you're responsible for, sir, I would suggest that you be more, sensitivity to what I've been going through.
What you've been going through, man, what you've been going through, it was 13 years ago. What you went through was you passed out drunk. 877-876-PHIL. Here is, this is Annette in San Antonio. Go ahead, Annette. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, yeah.
Okay. Well, my comment to the gentleman who left his son while he was passed out drunk and sues the sheriff's department for not being able to find his son quick enough. I mean, here's a man passed out who left his son, and he still doesn't know where he's at either.
Would you turn that down, please?
I was playing. This is the music of Jumbo's Clown Room.
I understand. I don't want to hear that right now. Go ahead, ma'am.
And as far as any self-respect, I mean, the man, if he's going to go out drinking, doesn't need to bring his children with him or his child with him. He should find a sober adult, responsible adult to leave him with, and then he can go party.
No, ma'am. My wife and I had been invited to a... I guess you didn't hear about everything that I was saying.
I heard about it, and you got drunk, and she got drunk, and then you have a child there, and you're both drunk.
Hey, ma'am, we're at a wedding. I don't know, if you've been to too many weddings, but people do have, alcoholic beverages there. They have adult beverages.
Then you don't bring your young children with you and get drunk.
I would agree with that, except my wife had just had my son, and as women, you're a woman, you women want to show off a baby. Every time you have a baby, you want to take it and show it to people, especially at a wedding. where other women are going to be. There's no way I can say no to
my children anywhere that I'm going to be drinking.
Are you telling me you've never taken your kid? Well, I find that hard to believe, ma'am.
I've never drank in front of my children. I don't take them to the bars. I don't take them to weddings. I don't take them to anywhere there's alcohol.
Ma'am, are you telling me that you don't show your kids off? You don't show your kid, your firstborn baby, off to your girlfriends? You never did do that.
Without alcohol.
Walmart? Not at a wedding?
While I'm drinking.
You're sitting there and honestly telling me you never brought your kid to a strip club. Never.
Never.
Why would she bring her kid to a strip club?
Right. I mean, I don't even know what a strip club.
I'm asking you to be honest with me now. If you're a Christian, which I'm assuming you are, you never took your kid into a strip bar.
No, I've never even taken my kid into any kind of bar.
Why am I listening to this?
Alcohol in my home, where my children are.
Oh well, this lady's a Bible. She's a Bible thumper. No wonder. I would really appreciate it if we could get some normal people, Mr. Henderson.
This lady is normal enough, okay? She doesn't drink booze in her house, and I think that's very responsible in that, with small children around.
Too bad you can't do it, Mr. Henderson.
This is not about me, man. 877, thank you very much, Annette. 877-876-PHIL. This is not about me, Ace, okay? This is about you and your ability to hold a drink. If it's not just not holding a drink... Why am I listening to that?
Mr. Henry, I reserve the right to play the jumbo music. If you're going to lie about me, then why can't I have my way of saying you're a liar, putting on jumbo?
Well, you ain't going to play the jumbo music. 877-876-PHIL, as we talk about a father leaving his son out in his car seat while he's passed out drunk. Who's responsible? He says the cops. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, and we are speaking with Mr. Stephen Bozell. We've kept him over for another segment because, Mr. Bozell, your problem of 14 years ago has been revisited by another man, getting too intoxicated and leaving your child in a car seat someplace for people to find.
The child, and I was worried when I found out the next day, Mr. Henry, and yes, I was passed out and I had blacked out. When I found out the next day that they had found my son at 2:30, I was very angry at myself for having been, to that extent, intoxicated. But I was also angry at the police for it taking them until 2:30 to find a boy who was left on a wall outside Jumbo's Clown Room, which is one of the more... it's a landmark. You know, you make fun and talk about how, you know, Jumbo's is a strip club. It's a landmark place.
I don't want to hear that music, if you don't mind. Do you own a piece of Jumbo's Clown Room?
Boy, don't I wish.
Well, then quit playing the music.
But what I'm saying is it's a landmark.
Well, it may be a landmark. I don't know that a three-year-old, or how old was your son?
Son was 8 months at the time.
Eight-month-old kid isn't going to appreciate whether it's a landmark or not. And that's what we're talking about. You also sued the police for not finding your son fast enough. You're, Mr. Bozell, with all due respect, you are exactly what I feel, personally, is wrong with humanity.
Thank you very much. And you're not on doing
us. No, hold on. You're a guy that goes and gets drunk. Your wife goes dancing. You take your kid into a wedding reception where you've been drinking whatever you're drinking. Then you take your kid into a strip bar. Then you go and you take care of your cocaine addict, cokehead friend. And
he was not a cocaine addict, sir.
Well, whatever his problem was, you leave your son, you know, like these people that we read about, and then you blame the cops. And I find that to be unconscionable. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Augie in Raleigh, North Carolina. Augie, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. Fine.
Hey, listen, I've been driving up here from Florida to North Carolina, and I've been listening to this for about,
don't know, half hour, 45 minutes. Let me answer just a few questions that I'm going to keep hearing, I'm sure, for the next 10 minutes. Yes, I do bring my children to weddings, and I dress them beautifully. When I bring them to weddings, I make sure I have a place for them to go to sleep before I actually have a drink of alcohol. I never drink with my kids. I don't go to strip clubs. I do social drinks, not around my kids.
You just said you drink with your kids.
I'm sorry?
You just said you drink with them.
When I drink,
you gotta listen to the mayor
with children.
You just said you did. You take them to a wedding and you drink.
And six, Phil, here is Mike. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
That guy said that he took his kid.
How you doing, Mike?
Go ahead.
I'm all right, buddy.
Well, I wanted to make a point.
I understand what the point is you want to make. I'm listening to the caller.
What I've got a problem with is this guy's blaming everybody but himself for what he's done.
No, I blame myself, too, for getting... I also blame myself. I was intoxicated the night that boy was conceived.
Well, it's not the police department's fault that you got drunk. And, you know, the first responsibility as a father is to take care of your child. You knew you were going to this wedding, and yet you planned on getting drunk. That's stupid and ludicrous.
Why would that be ludicrous, given the fact that that's what you do when you go to a wedding, and my wife knew that, and the police know that, too.
The police know what?
I've been to a lot of weddings, and I've never been drunk at a wedding. I've been to probably 15 or 20 weddings since I've been of drinking age, and I've never been drunk. I've never seen anybody drunk at a wedding. And if they
really, I bet you, when you, if you, if, have you ever, if you, when you go into a strip bar, do you put your hands over your eyes too?
Hey, I've been to a strip bar one time.
And you put your hands over your eyes.
I didn't say I didn't, but there's no rule or law anywhere that says if you go to a wedding, you got to get drunk and that you've got to drink. If you knew that you were going to get drunk before you went to this wedding.
How come they serve booze at it? Why do they serve booze at weddings? See? If they serve booze at weddings, you're supposed to drink it. If you
you're considered to be rude, by that rationale, there's people that, there's a six-year-old kid that goes to a wedding with his parents, by that rationale, then these kids should be getting married at that wedding too, because you've got people that are getting married. So you're saying that because you know, what are you talking about?
That don't make no sense. That don't make no sense at all. It's illegal for a little kid.
Sure it does. If you're an adult,
why do they have booze at weddings? For the adults to drink it. I'm an adult. Yes, I am. I go to the wedding. Yes, I did. Is the booze there at the bar that I see? It is. They want me to go and drink? I do. Nobody said to them, kid, and you're supposed to get it.
The problem is not that you're drinking at the wedding. Yes. It's all right if you want to have a drink when you go to a wedding, but you don't need to be getting there slap-ass drunk with your kid in the room. I take a drink. I don't lie about it, but I'll be damned.
You said you never get drunk at weddings, is what you said, which I find very hard to believe.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said. Having a drink and getting drunk is two different things. I can have a drink and not get drunk.
If you have a drink, do you feel the effects of the alcohol in your mind and in your life?
Do I feel the effects in my mind? Not after one beer, no. And
you
when
don't
I know, no, I don't. I don't.
Well, I don't know. Everybody feels one beer.
Well, what do you call being drunk?
As soon as you have a beer and you feel, you know, warm, you're drunk.
No, you're not. No, you're not at all. Drunk is when you don't have control over your motor sensory. You know, kind of a deal.
Motor sensory kind of a deal.
You know what I mean. Your equilibrium and all that stuff. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt, guys.
You don't have control over your kids either when you're drunk.
Right.
And that's what I've got a problem with. If you had control over your
kids,
they're my
kids.
The police.
What are you worried about? They're my kids. They're my kids. What are you worried about? They're my kids.
I'm worried because we got to pay for it as taxpayers. You want to hire more cops to be out there looking for kids.
You could get them as volunteers.
All right.
Thank you.
Who are you going to get out there? You're going to get a volunteer cop out there at 2 o'clock in the morning looking for your kid because you got too hammered on Jaeger shots. And
I sit on Yukon Jack. and Grand Marnier.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. It's your fault.
What? Well,
you went
I don't
this...
see it.
Well, I know you
and,
don't
and
see
the,
it.
And the other thing is you, and then you're suing the cops and saying those cops didn't find your kid fast enough because, you know, you left him on a wall outside of Jumbo's Clown Room, which is a historic place, and naturally you're going to take your kid in there. Unreal. Thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Paul in Boston, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
What are you talking for me, sir?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Bozell, you are a pathetic excuse for a human being. You know, it's sad that you have to rationalize everything that you do like that because you're an excuse maker. You have an addictive personality. What do you mean, no?
I did not. I took responsibility for going out and having
UConn
jack shots.
Yeah, and you're blaming the cops on it? You're blaming the cops because your son was left on the wall? Listen to your whole narrative. Listen to your whole narrative. You're at a wedding. You're at a wedding. You blame your wife for bringing your child there because she has some psychological need to show her baby off to the women, to other women. That's garbage. Number two, she leaves the baby with you so she can go dance. It's her fault because she wants to go dance. Number three, you bring your child to a strip joint. In fact, I heard you ask the woman, and you said to her, haven't you ever brought your child to a strip joint?
Yes, sir, I did.
Why? Yeah, I know, but why would anybody else want to do it? Doesn't make any sense.
If you get drunk at a wedding, you're going to go next door to a strip joint.
So
you've never done that.
No, I've been to a lot of weddings and I've gotten drunk, but I never had my child there, you know.
Plenty of weddings have kids there. Every wedding has a kid there. You tell me you've never seen weddings with kids there. They're all over the place.
Some weddings don't,
but it doesn't mean that you, I'm going to get hammered. Let me take my kid in a car seat and take him into some strip club because it's a landmark place.
Mr. Bozell, see what you're doing? You're throwing it off. Well, you've never been to a strip club, or you've never done this, or you've never done that. That's totally bogus. That's totally beside the point.
I think that you and Mr. Hendry are the kind of guys that go into strip clubs and put your hands over your eyes because you're all, I better not.
Me. You know what? Let me tell you something. I'm 61 years old. I've been into strip joints that did stuff you wouldn't believe. Okay?
Okay. So you put your hands over your eyes?
Don't give me that gun. No. I've been to strip shows. I was in Germany for 2 years during the Vietnam War, and they had strip shows that you would not believe. Okay? So don't give me that baloney.
Did you go to the donkey show?
I don't want to hear about donkey shows, nothing.
Well, this guy's donkey.
I want to hear what this gentleman has to say. Yeah. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, see, but the thing is, that's what you do. You've never done this, and you've never done that. That has nothing to do with what you did. Your child there. You did. And you go.
You were telling me about all the good strip bars you went to, and I was telling you, have you been to the donkey show? And you said no.
That's beside the point. That's beside the point.
He didn't bring it up. You brought up the fact that Jumbo's Clown Room is a landmark. You got an 8-month-old baby in a car seat and was left on a wall outside of a strip club. That's what people are finding to be ridiculous.
But this guy goes to some kind of a pervert show in Nazi Germany or wherever they went.
What does that have to do with you leaving your child out on a wall?
You go into some perv show in Nazi Germany, you don't think that has something to do with it?
No. You're the one who left your child out on the wall.
He didn't go to Nazi Germany. It was during the Vietnam era. It was West Germany.
Era, 1969 to 1971. I was there.
I'll bet it was 1969.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you something else.
1971. Yeah. What I want to ask
you. I'll tell you something else.
I want to ask you this. How are the cops supposed to know that you left your child on the wall?
when you were drunk? You were passed out. You said, oh, people think,
yeah,
you know,
was,
you go to a...
I was passed out in my car. And you know what?
No,
so I wouldn't drive. So I wouldn't drive and kill my son.
Oh, what a good father you are.
But you go and you see it. You see some nasty, potentially illegal, you see some nasty strip show overseas, and you don't let me talk about it.
You know,
what is it?
No,
what is it with you? You've got to make excuses for everything.
No,
you know, and that's the sign of an addictive personality.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Bozell.
My name isn't Bozell, it's Bozell.
I know, and I misspoke. I'm sorry. What does this man going to the strip show in Germany all these years ago have to do with anything?
He said it was very nasty and potentially illegal.
So what? That's not what it's about. He's talking about strip clubs, and he's talking about going in as an adult man, not taking a kid in, okay?
Well, I'm not going to take my kid in the strip bar this guy goes to, God knows.
You're a pathetic human being. You really are.
I'm a pathetic human being because I don't want to take my kid into some Nazi, look at a hooker in Nazi Germany or whatever he was, doing a ping pong trick. Is that what you saw?
No, you're a pathetic human being because you put your son on a wall when you were too drunk to do anything about it.
Right.
You
exactly.
What I want to ask you this.
You went and saw the ping pong trick in Nazi Germany.
Nazi Germany was 69. Nazis were long gone.
The Nazis were gone.
Who cares? Well, who cares? I could have done all kinds of crazy things back in 1969. That doesn't make
what you
did. That does not ameliorate what you did. Has nothing to do with
it. That's not even a word. That's not even some simple-minded little word you made up.
You don't even know what ameliorate means. Woo! Man.
What?
It means to limit. It means to limit or to excuse. Okay?
Well, I think that's some simple-minded stuff he made up.
Look it up in the dictionary. A-M-E-L-I-O-R-A-T-E.
You say the Nazis were gone by 1969? That's what you say.
Yet, no, that's what the history books say.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
You, sir, are a sick man. You need help.
Why? See the pink... Do you want to know who holds the record? Do you know who holds the ping pong ball record? Nancy Reagan. God rest her soul. Okay?
Ping pong ball record? What does that have to do with you leaving your child on a wall when you were drunk?
I'm sorry for that. I apologize for it. I don't know what
you don't apologize for it because you're making so many excuses to cover your worthless butt with it. Oh, well,
later. Fine. That's fine, but if you go and see, you go and look at a hooker shooting ping pong balls, all right, forget it.
Man, you know, you got ping pong ball on the brain, dude.
I said Nancy Reagan holds the record.
Will you knock it off with the Nancy Reagan? Hey, listen, Paul, we got to take a break. I thank you very much for your call, your service to our country. Thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL, Mr. Steven Bozell. And
are you blowing me off the line now? I wasn't able to...
I had you on for almost 2 hours yammering your stuff about Nancy Reagan holds the ping pong ball record. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
For lies, that's what it's famous about.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, next hour is our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And welcome back to the show, and welcome to another week, and welcome. Our website is philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. You can go and get a backstage pass and join us. Join us. Join us for our video casts, our archive material, our news feed, all of the things to come, all of the exciting things to come. Now, here is a story that I'm having a difficult time with because I don't know exactly what's wrong with this. Sharon Angle, and I'm not a fan of hers. As a matter of fact, I'm not a fan of anybody running for any race in any country right now, let alone America. I'm having a hard time making my mind up about everybody. Anyway, she is a Senate candidate in Nevada. Sharon Engel told dozens of Hispanic high school students in Las Vegas last week, and this made the news. This made the Associated Press. Christina, oh, here we go.
Yeah, see, she's Spanish.
Silva. Anyway, she told dozens of Hispanic high school students last week that some of you look a little more Asian to me, inducing gasps from the crowd and marking the latest eyebrow-raising remarks she's uttered on the campaign trail. Engel, a Tea Party-backed Republican in a close contest against Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, met Friday with a group of Las Vegas high school students after students expressed anger with her campaign's anti-illegal immigrant message. In amateur video of the private meeting obtained by the Associated Press, Engel defends a series of campaign advertisements that lean on images of, quote, dark-skinned men. Now, in this video, captured by somebody in the audience, a group of Hispanic teens are told that some of them look Asian.
So that's what we want, is a secure and sovereign nation. And, you know, I don't know that all of you are Latino. Some of you look a little more Asian to me. I don't know that. What we know about ourselves is that we are a melting pot.
Yeah, I think the point she was trying to make there was that I wouldn't stop you on the street. I wouldn't think you're Hispanic. I'd stop you on the street if you were Asian and bust you for being illegal. Is that what she's saying?
Yeah, that's what I think she's saying. Saying, oh, you don't look Hispanic, you look Asian. That don't mean I ain't gonna stop you.
Well, I think it's a now that I hear it, yeah, it sounds real dumb. I don't know that. Why even go there, man? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, Engel, who is white and has Mexican grandsons, claims she did not know the people in the TV spots were Hispanic and makes the case that it can be difficult to pinpoint someone's race. She didn't know the people in the TV spots were Hispanic. It's difficult to pinpoint someone's race. Well, one thing for sure, you know whether somebody is dark-skinned or light-skinned. And so you heard what she said. You know, I don't know that all of you are Latino. Some of you look a little more Asian to me. In other words, you look a little more yellow, maybe.
I don't know, man.
We got David on the line. All right, let me just... David G. Hall is on the line here, our vice president of syndicate. Oh, we got a split. Sorry, David.
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry, we got to go.
I called in. You going to commercial?
Yeah.
You know something? This embarrasses me. It makes me look like an ass because you were happy...
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I was sitting in a preview in a movie theater over the weekend.
And my wife said, if you're going to do something about it, go do something about it. So I said, I'm going to go.
Get you something?
It's your mofo, butter laying into the bone.
Jewel is 15 years old.
I'm Fred Thompson, and I approve this message.
Bastard from a basket!
Excuse me, world famous Phil Hendry show. I choked on something. World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Maybe I'm choking on the words I'm having to speak here. Anyway, truth is our bitch. And through the looking glass we go, places where other talk shows can't go, here every night. PhilHendryShow.com, the strong right arm of the world famous Phil Hendry show. We're live streaming video of our show is right now, man. And you can get it not only on your desktop, your laptop, your iPad, you can watch it on your mobile if you have an Android or Evo phone. And soon to come, on-demand video on your iPhone from the Phil Hendry Show. Pick up a backstage pass. We've got all kinds of archived material you can listen to as well as our current podcast. God, what do I got in my throat here, man?
Watch water?
Yeah, give me some water. I got a can of Pepsi here. I mean, what's the difference, you know?
How's that?
That's fine.
God, man, I do it off the air or something.
Well, what do you want me to do, man? I got like this allergy, I guess. That's what I got. I have these allergies, and they all of a sudden start hitting me at the weirdest time, like right now, you know, when I'm talking. Funny how that happens. All right, anyway, welcome to the show, the last hour of the show. And this is our news hour. I got Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard along the way. Now, this is ordinarily a story I would have thrown in the garbage can because I don't personally care any longer where they think bin Laden is. I don't know how we're going to find out about the demise of Osama bin Laden. I'm pretty sure that we will find out about his demise, but I don't know how it's going to happen. I suspect that when it happens, it will be similar to what happened to that Zawahiri, that scumbag that ran Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Remember they hit that farmhouse he was in?
Oh, yeah, man. He was laying on the ground and saw the troopers trying to get away.
Yeah, he didn't have no legs or anything. He's trying to crawl away.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. I mean, they blowed it up. He tried to get away. The guy's like got half his body blown apart, you know, and all that.
Oh, he was still alive, huh?
Yeah. He seen the troops, and he tried to crawl away with no legs.
Oh, God. Well, you know what? Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy, that piece of garbage. I suspect that's how it's going to happen to bin Laden. All of a sudden, he's going to be sitting down to a nice breakfast or maybe a nice lunch of clam chowder, and he has on the Cubs game, and the next thing you know, boom! And he'll be looking up with, like, what's left of his body, and there'll be a Special Forces guy standing over him, smiling and saying, "Hi, how you doing there, Osama? Good? Huh? You don't look too good." That's the way it's, and then he'll, you know, he'll check out, you know.
You think so? I mean, they're not going to be able to bring him back and put him on trial, huh?
I don't think so, but I'll tell you, Holder should have answered that question anyway, and quit playing it cute, man, okay? This ain't got nothing to do with you working for Obama. You could be working for Bush. But when they ask you, are you going to put this guy on trial in New York City or at the military tribunal in Guantanamo, answer the question. Don't go, well, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. I don't answer these hypotheticals. Well, you're being asked a question by the senator. Anyway, I'm not really much interested. And one of the reasons why I'm not much interested, it isn't that I'm not interested in the information. I'm not much interested in who's saying it. Here's the headline today. NATO official, bin Laden living comfortably in Pakistan. Is that right? Bin Laden living comfortably in Pakistan. Well, do I believe that? I don't believe some of the reasons they give for why he may be living comfortably in Pakistan. For instance, they say he's living comfortably in Pakistan because he is being protected by certain members of the Pakistani intelligence. Well, here's why I don't believe that. It's not that I don't believe Pakistani intelligence may be purchased for a handsome price. I don't think bin Laden's stupid enough to entrust his security to Pakistani intelligence or to even entrust to them the knowledge of his whereabouts. I don't think he can't possibly be that dumb because he's still walking around. At least that's what they tell us. And that's about the dumbest thing you could do. Oh, well, you're here courtesy of the good grace of Pakistani intelligence. Well, thanks a lot, but no thanks.
Well, what do you say that for?
Because that... What do you mean, what do I say that for?
You kidding, man? That killed him.
They're not going to kill him. They're being paid.
Paid? Let me ask you something, man. If the Pakistanis wanted to get paid, who are they going to go to? Bin Laden or us?
Dude, we're in a recession.
It doesn't make any difference, bud.
Well, don't make no difference in a recession, man. We got all the money in the world, man.
Bud, you look at, if the Pakistanis, you know, want to get paid, man, they go to the man with the money, okay? They ain't going to go to bin Laden. Sure, he's got bread. We got more bread than God. I don't care if we are in a recession. We got it. The EU has it. The Russians have it. All kinds of money, man. The Pakistanis are doing it because they're getting paid. They get paid from us.
Well, maybe they're getting paid from us and him.
No. Because while bin Laden ain't dumb, neither are we. Not to that extent. We ain't laying money on those cats to do what? To find him? No. We'll lay money on those guys to kill him. We'll lay money on those guys to get him and bring him to us. But that's, you know, that's, what do they call it? Cash on delivery, man. COD. And these guys that saying, oh, they're being paid off by bin Laden, and that's why they, you know, they're protecting him. Look, it, they may think that that's what they want to do, and maybe that's what their intent is. Bin Laden ain't that stupid. But here's the thing that really is makes me laugh. I mean, I'm laughing until I'm sick when I see this stuff. And you should, too, folks. Believe me. You should, too. Because you have been inundated with this jackass and this expert and that expert. We had Richard Clark. Then we had George Tenet. Then we had, oh, all these guys. They warned everybody. And, oh, if only anyone listened to them. Does anybody really still believe that stuff?
You talk about the guy about bin Laden, right?
What do you mean am I talking about bin Laden? Yeah, I'm talking about the guys that were warning or so-called warning us about Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
Does anybody still believe that those jackasses were, oh, they were a lone voice in the wilderness, and if only somebody had listened, is anyone still buying that? Because I'm telling you, here's the thing that I thought was funny about the story. The NATO official's comments. Now, this is the NATO official said that bin Laden is living comfortably. He's being protected by tribal chieftains, and he is living in a part of Pakistan where he is also being protected by members of the country's intelligence service. Don't believe that. For a minute, don't believe that. The news undercuts the U.S. government's depiction of the Al-Qaeda leader as on the run, one terror expert tells Yahoo News. And who is this terror expert? Well, this is a guy named Michael Schuer, S-C-H-E-U-E-R, a former, get this, special advisor to the chief of the CIA's bin Laden unit. Wow, that's an impressive name.
Well, yeah, but he ought to know.
Really? Yeah, you better believe he ought to know. As a matter of fact, this guy says, quote, it exposes the lie. I love that. Here comes that word again. The lie that Bush and Obama have been telling us since 9/11, that he was running from rock to rock and cave to cave. Telling you, Michael? Well, you were the former chief of the CIA's bin Laden unit. Nobody can lie to you, right? How come we got the former chief of the CIA's bin Laden unit? Then we got the former guy that ran the terror thing. And then we got the former guy that ran the CIA. And we got another former guy that did this. Another former guy that did that. And all these guys, boy, are they brain surgeons. They got it all figured out. And they know exactly what's wrong. And they know what we got to do now. And when they were in the actual job, they couldn't find their ass with both hands, as my dear departed father used to say.
Yeah, they probably would have done their job better then be writing a book about it.
Well, that's all I want to do, write a book.
That's right. You got that one right, Robert. All they want to do is write a book. Here is the unnamed NATO official. Nobody in Al-Qaeda is living in a cave. All right. Now, this guy, Schuer, who's been an outspoken critic of the U.S. approach to fighting Al-Qaeda, yes, I'm sure he has been, hasn't he? He said it's unlikely that the comments reflect any valuable new piece of information. If this were genuine intel, they would not go public with it, he said. They would try to kill him. Yes. But you see, this is also genuine intel, or maybe it isn't genuine intel, that you don't know about, Michael, because you got your thumb parked up your rear end, man. You don't know anything about anything. You didn't know anything about anything when you were running the, what is it again? Oh, the special advisor to the chief of the CIA's bin Laden unit. I don't know about you guys, but I've had enough of these guys that were Brain Surgeon One, you know, Manny Moe and Jack or whoever, the three stooges of the CIA, and these guys knew it all. And if only anybody had been listening to them, why, hell, we wouldn't be in all the problem that we're in. You know what? That guy Clark, that's the guy that really frosted my ass, man. That guy was in that job for 10 years at least prior to 9/11.
You're kidding.
No, I ain't kidding, man. That guy was the head of the so-called terror whatever, you know. And for 10 years, this guy held on to his job during the coal bombing, during the World Trade Center bombing, during the bombing of the embassies in Africa. This jackass had that job. Even Bush didn't fire him. Until finally, after 9/11, he got his ass kicked out of there. And guess what he does? He gets all crybaby about it, goes in front of a Senate subcommittee, and apologizes to the families, we let you down. No, you let us down there, Richard. You and this clown, Michael Schuer, all of these guys protecting their rear ends, all of these guys protecting their future publishing opportunities by saying, yep, there's another life for Bush and Obama. Yeah, if they'd only listen to me. If they only listened to you, yeah, they'd listen to you if you passed your latest psych test.
They're probably nuts, man. That's why they kick him out of there.
I don't know if they kicked this guy out or he quit. Here's another guy, Brian Katulis, a national security expert at the Center for American Progress, whatever that is. He also downplayed the comments. There's always been a sharp focus on how do we close the chapter by capturing or killing bin Laden. I don't know that the NATO officials' comments are based on anything new or real. In other words, it's not even news. It's not new, it's not real, but it's nothing, you know, these guys didn't have it. And then we have Navy Admiral Michael Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, expressed optimism that bin Laden and his deputy Ayman al-Zawahiri would eventually be caught. Well, let's not believe him because he happens to be part of the administration. Let's make fun of those guys through Mr. Michael Schur. The evidence that bin Laden's living in relative comfort and stability cuts against that expectation. The evidence? We got a comment from a NATO guy. Maybe it's disinformation. Maybe it's misinformation. Anyway, this guy Schur says, we're just facing reality at last. Bin Laden lives among people who, A, regard him as an Islamic hero, and B, whose tribal mores require them to protect a guest with their own lives. Schur continued, despite what our leaders are saying, a guy who's not moving around is not vulnerable to attack. When he was vulnerable to attack, Mr. Schur, what did you do about it? Well, I'm not going to blame you because the record is clear. It's as clear as the nose on your face, bud.
Yeah.
The record is clear that every time they had this guy dead to rights, every time they had him in his sights, the record's very clear. And this is during President Clinton. And I don't blame President Clinton. He didn't know what they, you know. If people want to blame Bush, then I blame Clinton. If people are going to climb off of Bush's back about this, then I'll climb off of Clinton's back, too. But the fact is, Clinton had operational, what do they call it? You know, actionable intelligence.
Yeah, they call it like operational, you know, where they go in there, operational. You know?
Yeah. The intelligence is...
All right, I understand. They had actionable intelligence, and they didn't want to attack because there might be collateral damage. They had actionable intelligence after the coal got blown to bits and those men died. Now Clinton says, well, you know, I guess we're going to have collateral damage, but then they called it off for some other damn reason. So how is it that this stuff is on the record? It is historical fact. Historical fact. And yet, these jackballs sell this. Bush, man, Bush, he butchered. Oh, God, Bush. You don't have to be a fan of Bush, but at least be a fan of the truth, you know. At least be a fan of, well, here's what happened, and we know what happened. We have the record. It's very clear what happened. Here's this guy, Michael Schur, on leaving the CIA. Here's a quote. I resigned from the agency I love in order to publicly damn the feckless 9/11 commission, which failed to find any personal failure or negligence among intelligence community leaders, even though dozens of serving officers provided the commissioners with clear documentary evidence of that failure. Also, because I really didn't have a fast track to the top, and I was kind of just being wasted and lost because my ideas were really unsound, and I was very weird, and I smelled bad, and nobody wanted me there, and that's really what the problem was. Signed, Michael Schweinhund. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More news, more weirdness. Starbucks may... Well, this isn't weird. This is good news. Starbucks may be serving booze soon. New York City teachers... Yeah, really.
What are they getting? Like, beer?
I don't know. New York City teachers are canned for flirting with students over Facebook. Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Bob, Junior Seau, I'll do that?
Yeah, I'll do the Junior Seau story because this is wild.
Who's he?
Junior Seau used to play football for the San Diego Chargers.
But they call him Junior.
Because that's his name, Junior.
Why? What's his name?
His name's Junior. That's his name.
He's from Hawaii, man. They call a lot of people over there Junior.
What? What are you talking about, man?
They do. As a matter of fact, there have been a lot of football players from Hawaii named Junior. There was Junior something. I don't know. They've been a bunch of Juniors, man.
What are you talking about, a bunch of Juniors?
They call a guy who come from Hawaii Junior.
Understand?
Not really.
Well, I don't either, but that's... Junior Seau. There was a Junior that came from Hawaii. Hold on. I'm getting a little moisture in my throat here. Junior Oda or some crap like that. He played in Canada. Anyway, it's kind of like there's a lot of guys named John, you know?
What, in America?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys named John. Well, over in Hawaii, there's a lot of cats named Junior. I don't know. Former NFL linebacker Junior Seau drove his car off a cliff near a Carlsbad, California beach early this morning, just hours after being released from jail. When I say early this morning, I mean yesterday morning. That would be Sunday morning. Just hours after being released from jail following a domestic violence arrest. Oh, my God. Was he trying to kill himself?
Sounded like it.
His white Cadillac SUV was found on the beach about 30 feet below the roadside, said Carlsbad Police Lieutenant Kelly Kane. Kane said it wasn't a sheer cliff, but it was a significant rough slope. Seau, whom police say was conscious, was pulled from the vehicle by law enforcement officials. This accident sparked rumors that Seau was trying to commit suicide. According to TMZ.com, Seau told police it wasn't a suicide attempt, insisting he merely fell asleep at the wheel. The former New England Patriot player, he's also a member of the San Diego Chargers, was the only passenger inside the Cadillac SUV and is conscious and in hospital. Is this some foreign news service? They always say in hospital if it's British. No, it's ABC. Well, that's sort of foreign.
Yeah.
Anyway, is recovering and in hospital, recovering from minor injuries. Seau, age 41, was arrested on a charge of felony spousal assault with injury after a dispute with his 25-year-old live-in girlfriend, according to the Oceanside Police Department. The victim sustained minor injuries that did not require medical attention. The victim has not yet been identified. ABC News has confirmed the woman's name, but is withholding it unless they're paid enough. And then they'll, I'm kidding.
They're going to get mad for you to say that.
Well, don't make it sound like you guys are so special over there at ABC.
Well, we're withholding the name.
The woman's stepmother told ABC News that she was upset about the alleged abuse of her stepdaughter. My heart is broken. We're all praying. We just hope she's safe. Do you think a lawsuit, we could be included in that? And on that, she said, with hopeful-looking eyes, and then she just sat down and clutched a handkerchief. Anyway, Seau was arrested just after midnight. That would be midnight Sunday, after his girlfriend called the cops following a dispute. Cops arrived at Seau's home, but he had fled. Fled? Well, I guess you call it fled.
Yeah, he knew the cop would come and he fled.
Yeah, but what if he's just going to go get some donuts or something?
Well, you going to go get donuts, man, if your girlfriend calls the cops?
I think we can safely say that he was trying to get out of there, bud. Let's put it that way, okay? Going to get donuts.
Well, it's early.
Yeah, okay.
Spud nuts open then, man. But they're 24 hours, but I don't think he's thinking about Spud nut.
You know, I can't understand you saying, Spud nut, man.
All right, well, you know, you're babbling away.
I said Spud nut.
You guys are talking about him going to get Spud nuts? Is that what you think he was doing?
It's possible.
I don't think so. I think this guy knew that his girlfriend called the cops, and I think he was fleeing the scene, as they said in Fargo. Fleeing the interview. Anyway, the former star linebacker was booked by at Vista Detention Facility and released around 3:30 a.m. after he posted bail. 5 hours later, he drove his car off a cliff overlooking the beach. No charges or traffic citations have been filed. Seau is a 12-time Pro Bowler. Oh, boy. Calls made to his foundation were not returned.
Maybe he died.
There's more than him sitting at the foundation. We'll be back. Americans will spend more money on Halloween this year than last year. Where are we getting the dough? Maybe the recession's over. Maybe not.
Phil Hendry.
Maybe we're just spending it anyway.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Seattle, Washington, if you thought the coffee at Starbucks was addictive, wait till you try the beer and the wine. Starbucks is experimenting with adult beverages at one of its learning lab locations in Seattle. The coffee chain said Monday that it's reopened its Olive Way store in the city's Capitol Hill neighborhood after an extensive redesign. Starbucks Learning Labs test new menu items and concepts to see if they would work in their other locations nationwide. Is this beer and wine?
Yeah. No, I don't gonna go into that.
I don't usually go into beer and wine joints myself. I you know what I'm saying?
Why not?
Why? You know, if I'm going to go into a bar, I want to go into a bar. You know, what is this beer and wine? What if I want something, you know, like...
You drink tequila anyway.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if I'm going to go into a bar, hi, this is a bar. Oh, that's great. May I have a shot of whiskey? No, we only serve beer and wine. Well, what are you talking about, man? So I don't know that I want to go into a, unless it's a restaurant. I've been to restaurants, which, by the way, I was talking on the pre-show, and I really want to say that I'm not getting paid. This is not a paid endorsement. But we found a restaurant in Ventura over the weekend called, get a load of this, My Florist.
What do you call it that for?
They call it My Florist because the original was opened in a historic building in Phoenix, a historically protected building, and apparently there'd been a florist in there because on the front of the building it said My Florist, and they didn't change the sign. So he just named his restaurant My Florist, and now they have one in Ventura. And I'm telling you, this place is gorgeous, and it is well, I don't want to go on and on about it. The whole reason why I'm bringing this up, though, is when I sat in this joint, I thought, well, this place is really nice. It's very comfortable. They've got a beautiful sort of patio that's on the street. So it's like sidewalk dining, but it's just, you know, protected enough where you feel as if you are also inside the restaurant. And I thought, well, this joint's got to be just beer and wine. It's too nice. It's too new and it's too nice. No, they had a full liquor license and they had a huge tequila menu.
Yeah, but we're talking about Starbucks, man. You just did a plug for some guy nobody ever heard of.
Well, I'm glad I did, okay?
Yeah, but you could get in trouble.
I'm not going to get in trouble. I'm not getting paid. It ain't payola. Nobody's paying my ass. It was a place I went to, a little place in Ventura. It's a great joint. Yeah, and I mentioned them, My Florist. Why am I supposed to be giving Starbucks all these free publicity? Why? Because they're thinking about serving wine and beer? You got to be some kind of a... I'm telling you, I should shut my mouth, but I don't think you're much of a wine connoisseur if you're going into Starbucks for a glass of wine. Tell you that much.
What are you talking about, man? I mean, if they could have, like, a very fine Cabernet, what do you call it? Cabernet Sauvignon and a...
It's Cabernet Sauvignon, okay?
What about the other ones, like peanut, the peanut one?
What peanut one?
Yeah, peanut, this one.
Pinot Noir and Pouilly Fouché.
Yeah, it looks like a different word.
Well, shut up. And then this one here is Petite Syrah.
What about a gay name like that, man?
Look at dude. It's the name of the grape. It's the name of the grape. You understand the grape? It's not, what do you mean the gay name? It's the name of the grape. Have you ever seen a Cabernet grape?
Uh-uh.
They're really tiny, little tiny Cabernet grape. So these are the grapes, and the name there on that label of that bottle, where'd you get that bottle anyway?
I just found it in the garbage.
Yeah, huh? That's the name of the vineyard. That's the name of the grape. And that is the year that they, you know, bottled it, man.
How come it's better when it's way older and everything?
Wine gets better with age. Good wine gets better with age. Now, there is a way of... I'm not going to go into a whole wine drinking thing. What the hell am I talking... We're talking about Starbucks, okay? Long way, man, from good wine. In a brief statement announcing the reopening of the store, Starbucks said it's offering wine and beer after 4 p.m. because we have so many alcoholics that come in here. No, they didn't say that. They said...
You're going to get in trouble talking all that smack about Starbucks when you talk about My Florist.
So I gave My Florist a plug, man. Why do I... Let me ask you a question. Where is it written that I give Starbucks a plug-a-roo once a week with some story, some jive story that they've pumped out of their press relations office about, oh, hey, Starbucks, we're going to start selling wine. We're going to start selling beer. You talk about free publicity. On the menu, regional beer and wine and local cheese and cured meats. What?
Dude, what does that mean, like, cured meat?
I don't know, man, but smile when you say that.
Yeah, the cured meat, that scared me, too.
That'd scare any reasonable human being. What does that mean, cured meats? Cheese and wine? Since when are people... You know, I'm telling you, we're losing our minds. We were into that cheese and cured meats thing maybe 20 years ago. People still into that? And you're going to go to Starbucks for that? No way. You know, I'll tell you a place. I went into a department store, in Paris, France, and it was called the Lafayette Square. What it's called the Lafayette, whatever the hell. All right, it's like the Lafayette Galleria. Let's call it that. Okay,
where is this?
In Paris, France.
That's another country.
Yeah, that would be another country, bud, yeah.
Wow, man, you stupid.
No, I don't know where it is.
In Paris, France. Anyway, I went in, and this place is fantastic. You've never been in a department store quite like this. Very relaxing, very a lot of nice things. But when you get to a certain floor there, I guess the fourth floor, this is where all of the, not only the kitchen supplies are and the kitchen features and pots and pans and knives and also foods, you know, and they have a restaurant in there. And it was one of the greatest experiences to sit down and eat just in this setting because you're shopping and then you sit down and they want to continue the shopping experience. So they say, well, senor or senorita or whatever the hell.
They usually say like monsieur.
Yeah, monsieur. It's called the Galeries Lafayette. All right. And
you just did French talk.
It's called French, bud. France talk.
Man, why don't you shut up, man?
I'm just asking a question.
That's called French. Well, not only is the shopping experience, see, oh, well, monsieur, what would you like? And I said, well, I think what I had was like beef tenderloin or some jazz. It was lunch. But, you know, you get into the think of the French, man, they don't hurry for nothing, man. And when they sit down and eat, they take a bite of this. That's very nice. Then they have another bite of that thing and a little bit of cheese. And they sit back and they fold their arms and they look around and kind of, you know, contemplate their navel. Then they go back and they have the wine and they're talking to the guy. Well, why don't you try this wine? Take a sip of that. Take a. And you know what? No wonder they live long over there, man. You know, they don't have any heart attack over there.
What do you mean?
They don't have heart attack over there.
Yeah, I heard about they don't have no heart attack, even though they're eating all kind of fat. Like, they're fat ass.
They don't have fat asses over there, man. They eat a lot of cream, and they eat a lot of cheese, and they drink a lot of wine. But those cats over there in France, they don't have strokes. They don't have heart attacks. Nothing. You want to know why I think it is? Because everything is chill. You know, they eat at a nice, reasonable pace. Now, I understand we can't do that in America because we are busy creating things and keeping the world safe, and the French can sit on their ass and do nothing. Now then, I'm kidding. I didn't mean that, you French people. You're very good people. And I used to hate you, but not anymore. Now then.
Yeah, me too.
All right. But no, so they're very relaxed when they eat stuff, you know.
What do you mean relaxed, man?
Are there, well, I shouldn't say it, but what, are you talking about their bowel movements?
No, I'm not talking about their bowel movements, man.
What are you talking about, man?
Well, you said they're relaxed.
When they're eating. When they're eating. And they do this and they do that. It's very relaxing. And they, oh, well, you know, monsieur, if you'd like the cheeses, over here. And you go over on the same level. And then they have a restaurant on the roof of the Galeries Lafayette. And you go up on the roof and you have your tea and whatever the hell it is you're having. And, man, the view of Paris. It's really something, and it's really relaxing. I think the thing I took away from that experience for me was you don't have to sit and eat like a freaking hog at a trough. You know, in America, we're just, you know, shoveling that crap in.
Yeah, a lot of time we do.
You know, you can very delicately.
Yeah, but you can't be all delicate and stuff eating like the nacho platter. How are you going to be that delicate?
Why can't you be delicate eating the nacho platter?
Well, they're going to want to take it away.
Who's going to take it away?
The restaurant.
Why are they going to take it away?
Well, you can't be all delicate.
Why can't I sit and have my nacho platter delicately?
Because they'll think you're wasting their time and everything. They're waiting for you to eat it like a man.
Yeah, you got to eat it like a man.
Otherwise, they're going to take it away, huh?
Yeah.
Bull crap.
Well, you'd have to convince me.
Because I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go down here to Yolanda's, my favorite Mexican place. I'll get a...
Quit stuttering, man. Spit it out.
Yeah, what's wrong?
Get out of here, both of you clowns. I'll go down to Yolanda's. I'll get me a nacho platter, and I'll eat it delicately and slow.
They'll throw you out.
No, they ain't going to throw me out, man. I was just in there the other day, man. They love me down there. You got to eat, you know, and enjoy the experience, man. That's what it's supposed to be. You got to enjoy the experience. And, you know, and that's probably, like I say, why they don't have all the heart attack. And even though they eat all that cream and all, and I don't like French food, man. And that's not a knock on the French. I just don't dig it, man. I'm not into that bland stuff. You know?
Well, they've got like garlic and everything.
Man, you know, I've had their food and I don't dig it. And I got to say this, and I shouldn't say because I know there's, you know, certain, you know, I don't want to piss anybody off, okay? But I got to tell you, I'm walking down the street, I'm looking at the French women, and do I dare, the greatest asses on earth, other than the United States, in Francais.
No kidding.
Yeah, you're talking about like a black girl?
No, not like a black girl. I'm just telling you. What do you mean? But yeah, sure, some of them.
The black ones.
Right. But this girl, man, she had on a pair of capris, and, well, I shouldn't. So they also, there's a high rate of commuting via walking. There's heavy cigarette use, which suppresses appetite. And so they're very, very healthy over there, except they do have a almost suicidal rate of lung cancer. Now,
really?
No, I'm joking. All right. Thanks a lot for that info, Jace, because that just completely blew my... Man, they smoke cigarettes over there like crazy. New York City teachers are canned for flirting with students over Facebook. Now, isn't that an intelligent thing to do? You New York City teachers, I am telling you, the brain surgery going on with that move is beyond belief. Why you'd get fired, I have no idea. Hi, I'm a teacher. Really? What are you doing? I'm on Facebook flirting with one of my underage students. Great. And dear Barbara Billingsley passes away. Many of us considered her to be our second or third mother, whichever. She was the mom. She was June Cleaver on Leave It to the Beaver. All right, coming up on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and, of course, our website, philhendryshow.com.
It's I can't the eat Phil Hendry bed. Show.
You can't, man. I'll eat nachos delicately. Watch me.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Tell them about that one.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A couple of things to finish up, but Robert wants me to tell the story, and it's true. For some reason, we were talking about Paris. For some reason, I don't know why, and I'm trying to think if there is something that's similar here in the United States that we do. But in Paris, at least, if you walk across a red light as a pedestrian, motorcyclists will try to run you over. And it happened a couple of times. You know, we walk on reds here in the States, in larger cities. We'll walk, L.A. you don't. In L.A. is one of the cities, L.A. is so Midwest, nobody walks on a red in Los Angeles. Unless they're from the East Coast, they will. And all the native-born people from L.A. are like, wow, that guy's like walking against the red light. You know, it's, well, there's no one, I mean, within thousands of miles. But in San Francisco, New York, a lot of places, Miami. In Paris, though, if you walk across on a red and there's a guy on a motorcycle anywhere near you, he will just trying to hit you.
You had a guy kind of veer into you, huh?
Yeah, and it was the middle of the night, man. I mean, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I walked, well, what the hell? I'm going to walk across this red. And I saw the guy. I saw this motorcycle. And over there, they got a few people that ride those big bikes, but most of it is little moped bullcrap or sewing machines, you know. So I saw the guy, and I was all... I was already well aware of what he was going to do, but I wanted to go across the street. So I'm walking, I hear this, and this, sure enough, this dude's like veering right at me, man. It's the funniest thing in the world. You know, and all I need is a baseball bat. You know, if I get, I get across the street, get onto the other curb, and then I turn, and I do like a Jim Rice for the fences, just bam!
Well, what do you do that for? Are they, like, vigilante or something?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It pisses them off, you know? It pisses off the motorcyclists. They just try to run you. Maybe they're being, maybe it's their little cop mentality or something over there. Barbara Billingsley, June, on Leave It to Beaver, died at the age of 94 over the weekend. For those of us who are, you know, my age, Leave It to Beaver was the Brady Bunch for our, you know, generation. The Brady Bunch was the Brady Bunch for that generation. And then I guess they're Saved by the Bell. And I'm sure there is a new show that is reflective of the ideal family that we all wish we lived in or would like to be a part of. But for my generation, it was Leave It to Beaver. June was the mom. And she had to sit there and listen to her psycho little kids, you know, running around talking about how Beaver's feet stunk or, you know, he kept leaving his underwear under the pillow or whatever. In her role as the doting mother of Wally and the Beaver,
What were the filthiest words ever said on TV?
Don't say it, okay?
I heard that one, too.
Anyway, in her role as the doting mother, the filthiest words ever said on TV. The mother of Wally and the Beaver, which lasted from 1957 to 1963, Billingsley exemplified the perfect pearl-wearing homemaker in the fictional town of Mayfield, USA. She was born Barbara Lillian Combs in Los Angeles in 1915. She started acting as a child, appeared in a number of school plays, and after graduating high school, she worked in New York as a fashion model and eventually landed a contract with MGM Studios. Working in the Hollywood studio system, Billingsley typically took unaccredited roles until she landed television work in 1952. And it was in 1957 when she signed with Universal Studios that she made her mark on the American TV landscape with her role as June Cleaver. We've got a couple of Billingsley. Here is Barbara Billingsley, though. Well, here she is first off, I think, from the Leave It to Beaver TV show.
Come in.
Hello, Mrs. Cleaver. May I come in?
Oh, sure, Eddie. Come on.
Is Wally home?
Yes, he's up in his room.
I can only see him for a minute because I have to go over and see my girl.
Well, he's up in his room.
When you have a girl, you can't spend all your time with the fellas. You have to spend some time with your girl.
Oh, you have a girl, Eddie?
Oh, yes. She goes away to boarding school. My father says that's a pretty good indication her family has money. My father says it doesn't pay to waste time with people who don't count.
Well, it's nice of you to come over here anyway, Eddie.
I beg your pardon, Mrs. Cleaver?
Look, Eddie, why don't you run on upstairs, huh?
They hated Eddie Haskell's guts, both the parents. My father says it doesn't pay with people who don't count. Anyway, look at me laughing at that stuff.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It was a funny show to me. I thought it was a funny show. Anyway, while she and the Cleaver clan became a post-war idea for America of the perfect family, Billingsley had difficulty living up to that standard. She was married three times. She spent part of her career not baking cookies, but working as a single mom with two boys. Speaking of her character in 1997 in TV Guide, Billingsley said she felt that everyone thought the Cleavers were the perfect family. She was the ideal mother. Some people think that she was weakish, but I don't. She was the love in that family. She set a good example for what a wife should be. After Leave It to Beaver went off the air, Billingsley saw few acting roles, but her career was revived in the 80s with the movie Airplane, where Billingsley turned her white bread reputation on its head as a jive-talking airline passenger.
Mm-hmm. Can I get you something?
It's your mofo butter laying into the bone, jacking me up. Tighten me.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Cuddy say can't hang.
Oh, stewardess, I speak jive.
Oh, good.
He said that he's in great pain and he wants to know if you can help him.
All right, would you tell him to just relax and I'll be back as soon as I can with some medicine.
Just hang loose, blood. She's going to catch up on the rebound on the med side.
What it is, big mama. My mama raised no dummies. I duck a rap.
Come with some slack, Jack. Chomp don't want to help. Chomp don't get the help.
Say can't hang. Say seven up.
Jive, ass dude don't got no brains in
him. There's Barbara Billingsley. There you go. Barbara Billingsley from the movie Airplane. She passed on. She was 94 years of age. And will be very missed. She leaves a family, and I think I read the quote from one of her kids saying, you know, she was every bit like June Cleaver. She didn't think she was, but her kids said, yeah, she was. I could conclude it with the New York teachers fired for flirting on Facebook with students, and I suppose it would have some sort of a poetic resonance, but why press our luck, you know?
Yeah, we heard about beavers. I mean, Mrs. Beaver.
Not Mrs. Beaver, Cleaver.
What?
Okay, I'm going to belt somebody.
Well, man, you're the one brought it up.
I didn't bring up anything. Leave It to Beaver was the name of the show.
Not Leave It to the Beaver.
No, not Leave It to the Beaver. And I'm going to kill you if you say it. World famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Charles Wagon. Associate producer and screener is Dan Northcraft. PhilHenryShow.com for all your radio comedy needs. Check out our log on site in a few minutes.
Phil Henry.
Check out your log.